Black Fin Web, 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, Happy Dependence Day.
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Happy Dependence Day. Or is it Independence Day? Let's take a look at that today. What are we celebrating when we say Happy Independence Day? Who are we celebrating independence from? I saw a funny video some time ago of a guy that goes around, a YouTuber, and he was on the beaches of San Diego asking, who did we get independence from? What are we celebrating on Independence Day? Who did we get independence from? And the people were like, China? Was it, or was it the Nazis, or was it the South? On what year? They were like, the 1870s or the 1930s? No. What are we celebrating, or who are we celebrating independence from? Great Britain. And it was the Declaration of Independence, signed in 1776. And so we're on the 250th anniversary of our country declaring independence from Great Britain. And we enjoy so many freedoms from that, to be our own country, to have freedom of speech, freedom to worship as we choose, and many other great freedoms. So we celebrate independence as Americans at this time. But we must be very careful always to remember that while we can celebrate independence from Great Britain, we should never and must never celebrate independence from God. Never make a declaration of independence from the Lord. Rather, we should celebrate today dependence. And that's what our country must do. It's our only hope as a nation, a country, and a people, these United States, if we declare our dependence today and always upon God, the Lord, and God alone. For only in Him is our help and hope for comfort, help, preservations, blessings, and victory. So let's talk about that today. Declaration of independence versus declaration of dependence. And what God wants to say to us about that today, instructing us through His scriptures. What does God say? Well, the first thing, thus declares the Lord, is that no nation or individual can ever stand for long if they declare independence from me. We've got to declare dependence upon God and God alone. So what does it mean to depend, by the way? What does that word mean? To depend upon something means to trust in it, to lean your whole weight upon it, to set your hope upon it, to fix your confidence upon something, to rely upon it. That's what it means to depend. When we declare dependence, we want to declare that upon God and never on our own righteousness, as an individual or as a country. Never our might, our strength, our military, our might, our money, our prosperity, our blessings, no. But we declare our dependence upon God only. God says that will lead to victory, but a declaration of independence from me leads to defeat. Let's read that in the Bible, actually, and see if that's what God actually says. Jeremiah 17. Thus says or declares the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man, who depends on man, that is, who makes flesh his arm, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Declare independence from me, go your own way, trust in your own flesh, your own arm, your own strength. You're going to be defeated, says the Lord. Next verse, though. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, who depends upon me, God says, whose trust is the Lord. That person is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and doesn't fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and he's not anxious in the year of drought, for he does not cease to bear fruit. So the point, the declaration of independence from God equals defeat. The declaration of dependence upon God, trusting in him, relying on him for everything, that leads to victory. Amen? Say amen.
Amen.
Who can we ask in Scripture as an example of this who might be able to give us a good testimony? The declaration of independence from God, I call to the stand. Adam and Eve, would you come tell us how that went for you? We declare independence from you, O God. You have your word, but we like our own way. We like to choose our own path. We want to be our own gods, be our own strength, be our own saviors. We'll take of that forbidden fruit, which you commanded us not to eat of. Well, you declare independence from God. What do you get for it? Look at their lives. Death, destruction, and defeat. They suffered for sure. How about a declaration of dependence? Who can we hear in the Bible that we can find for a declaration of dependence, do you think? Well, I'm going to point us to David when he faced off against Goliath. Think about what happened there. And check out how this is the perfect example for dependence versus independence. There came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. How tall is that?
9 feet.
9 inches or so. That means Shaquille O'Neal, if he were here today, you know, the basketball player, 7'1", huge, burly guy. He'd tower over all of us as a giant. Well, Goliath would absolutely tower over him by 2.5 feet and hundreds of pounds. The guy was enormous. He is the picture of the arm of flesh, quintessentially. Because he had a helmet of bronze on his head, he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. 125 pounds was just the coat that he was wearing. He had greaves of bronze, he had a javelin slung between his shoulders, a shaft of his spear weighed 600 shekels, 30 pounds just for the head of his spear, and this was easy for him to wield. And he stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." What is that but the declaration of independence? I defy by my strength, by my power, by my might, I defy you. A declaration of independence. Come and fight against me and see if you can win. He's leaning on the arm of flesh, which we just read a moment ago. You're cursed if you do that, Jeremiah 17. How did David do? Well, David comes along. What is he wearing? He's got just his linen clothes, whatever he's wearing. He has no weapons. He has no armament. He has nothing to cover him. He's untrained. He's a young, ruddy youth. He's untrained in war. He goes against Goliath with but 5 smooth stones from a stream, and he only needed one of them. Maybe he was using the other for other people. And he had just a little sling with him. But notice what his declaration was. He says, "You, Goliath, come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that the Lord saves, not with a sword and a spear, for the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will give you into my hand." Is that the declaration of dependence, would you say? Say amen.
Amen.
100% Goliath is, it's all me. David 100% says, it's all God. I lean on him for my strength. His faithfulness, his righteousness, his might, his saving power, I come against you in that. Goliath, what happened there? Well, you know the story. One sling, one stone, and down goes the giant, and David cuts off his head and gets the victory. So we got to know today that the declaration of dependence upon God alone, that's what we're called to. That is victory for individuals, you and me, as we do that. But to declare independence from God always ends in defeat, death, and destruction. Dependence leads to victory, life, and triumph. That's what God's calling to each of us to do today. Now, that's for individuals, okay? Next point, though, does that go for countries, too? Does that go for countries and nations? Does it apply there as well? Well, let me bring Israel up as an example from the Bible. How did they usually do in their walk with God? Did they declare dependence or independence, usually? Independence. They had their declaration of independence from God all the time. God says, ask for the ancient paths. Walk in my ways. You'll find rest for your souls. But we will not walk in it, says Israel. We'll go our own way. We declare independence from you, God. Didn't go well for them. Who did they usually rely upon? Dick, you said this in the Bible study this morning. They relied usually on Egypt, their neighbor just to the south. Why? It wasn't far away. It was a superpower. What did Israel have? They had everything to the flesh, right? They had vast numbers of soldiers, well-trained. They had money. They had wealth and riches in abundance. They were a superpower. They had chariots. They had weaponry. They had numbers. They had everything that the flesh wants, kind of like a Goliath. And they're always like leaning back on Egypt when enemy armies came against Israel. Oh, Egypt, come and help us. God told them in Isaiah, he says, woe to those who go down to Egypt and for help and rely upon horses, who trust in chariots because they're many, and in horsemen because they're very strong. But don't look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. Woe to you for this declaration of independence, leaning on Egypt. For the Egyptians, God says, are but men and not God. Their flesh is, horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, the helper will stumble, and he who is helped will fall. They'll all perish together. So, you notice there? Independence from God, relying on the arm of the flesh, you're going to be defeated, God says. Did they give heed? Usually, no, is the answer. Like in 588 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem, and the Judean king at the time, his name was Zedekiah, and he did what Israel usually did, which was appeal to Egypt. Oh, please come and help us from this great army that's coming against us. Did Egypt come and help them? Yes, they did, actually. They arrived, and what did King Nebuchadnezzar do? Left, and he departed from the city. Hooray, it's going well, this declaration of independence. They thought, what happened next? Israel quickly scooted back home, abandoned Israel. In comes Nebuchadnezzar, and wham, bang, slam, destroyed them completely. It didn't go well for them. They were completely destroyed. So the point today, so far, is dependence is good, but a declaration of independence leads to death, destruction, and defeat. Is there an example, though, you can give me in the Bible of a country, let's say Israel, when they did depend upon God? Well, there's kind of rare, but you do find it. For example, in 2 Chronicles 20, when King Jehoshaphat was being, there was armies beyond number marching against them from Ammon and from Moab and such. And they were surrounded and he trembled in fear. King Jehoshaphat, though, goes to God in prayer, and he says, "Oh, our God, will you not execute judgment upon them? For we are powerless against this great multitude coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Is that a declaration of dependence as a country, would you say? That's the perfect example of it. We're totally powerless. We can't do a thing. We have no trust in our own might. You're our only hope, God. Will you not save us? Declaration of dependence. And what happened? They march out to the battle. They don't even send scouts out ahead. They send praisers, musicians, to praise the Lord. And what did God do? He showed up and defeated the whole, routed the whole enemy for them. They didn't even have to fight. They licked up the spoil, and they came to victory through the declaration of dependence upon God. So that's what we got to do as a country or as individuals. Doesn't mean you're not going to have a hard fight ahead of you, even so, but God always leads it to victory. Four, think about this. Psalm 9 says, "Those who know thy name put their trust in thee, for thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek thee." God will never forsake you if you depend upon him. Trust in him. "In God I trust without a fear," Psalm 56. "What can man do to me?" It's strong confidence. Nahum chapter 1 says, "The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in times of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him." And Psalm 34, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." So do you want victory today for yourselves? Put your trust, make your declaration of dependence upon God. Might be hard, but he'll see you through to victory, to life and triumph. That's the promise that we have in him. He'll never forsake his saints. Next point, does America, these United States of America, need this, which we're talking about today, too? You think our country needs that today? Does that apply in our modern time and age as well? To depend upon God and declare our dependence upon him, is that necessary for our country to continue and have victory and not be destroyed and have defeat? Is this not how our country's remained to this very day? Through the prayers of our Christian forefathers in this country, but not declaring how great we are, but confessing our sins and calling upon God for his help and mercy. Putting not trust in weapons, in our money, but in God's help and faithfulness. Let me give you an example of that you might never have heard of, which I read this week, which is really cool. You want to hear a cool one? 1746, let your mind roll back in time. Do you know that there was a French admiral, Danville, his name was. He sailed for New England with 70 ships and 13,000 troops. Okay, you know what his mission was? He's gonna take Louisburg, Nova Scotia, and then he's gonna come down the coast from Boston to New York to Georgia to burn, kill, ravage, and destroy the entire East Coast of the United States. And he could have done it, the colonies at the time. What did the early colonists do? Massachusetts governor, William Shirley, declared a day of prayer and fasting, October 16th, 1746, telling the colonists to pray for deliverance from the great incoming threat. I mean, this is the end of their lives if they don't get help here. And it was said at in Boston, at the Old South Meeting House, Reverend Thomas Prince prayed the following prayer. "Send thy tempest, O Lord, upon the water. Scatter the ships of our tormentors." And it was said as he finished praying, the sky darkened, the winds shrieked, and the church bells rang, quote, "a wild, uneven sound, though no man was in the steeple." And a hurricane whirled by and destroyed the whole French fleet, and they were saved. So they were delivered through the declaration of dependence upon God. And a second example, as I started to relate last week, you know, the American War of the Revolution was not the last time we dealt with the British. A few years later, the War of 1812, you've heard of that one? Well, do you know that the British marched on our shores went through us like a knife through hot butter at the Battle of Bladensburg in late August, 1814. The British are again marching, and they march right into Washington, D.C., as President James Madison ran, fled, and escaped the city out the other way to save his life. So the British occupied Washington, D.C. Many, though, prayed for our country for deliverance that night. Admiral Cockburn, George Cockburn, was in charge of the British forces. He entered the city, and what did he do? Do you know that he walked right up into the White House, sat down as if he was king, and had supper in our White House? He did. Then he got up and lit it on fire. Then he marched with his troops over to the halls of Congress, and their army, the British soldiers, sat down in the seats of our own congressmen, where he held a mock Congress meeting, where he presided, the admiral, and he called for a vote to all of the British soldiers sitting in our congressional seats, and he said, who votes to burn the Capitol? And they all cried out, aye! And they voted, and they went, and they set the whole place into flames. The Congress building, the Treasury, the Washington Navy Yard, and such places. But just at that moment, a dark cloud appeared, and a hurricane whirled in there as well. Tornadoes, actually it says, picked up the heavy British cannons and threw them around like matchsticks. Horses and riders were thrown to the ground by the winds. And the British suffered more casualties and harm that day than the entire might of the American army's arm of flesh could do the day before. God, if you want to say God, went through them like a knife through hot butter in answer to many prayers. Such that Admiral Cockburn then exclaimed to an American woman still in the city, my goodness, madam, is this the kind of weather you have in this infernal country? She answered, no, sir, this is just the special intercepting work of Providence to drive out our enemies from our land. And he then fled the city, tried to go to Baltimore, failed again, went home to England with his tail between his legs. God answers the prayers of his people, but why? Why did we get deliverance on that day? Was it because we're more righteous than all the other countries? Holier, more powerful, more mighty? No, I'll tell you, it was for grace and grace alone. God simply choosing to act on our behalf, not for our righteousness, but for his faithfulness and goodness and mercy to give us the victory for his own sake and his own plan and purposes. So that's an important point for us. We must never make our prayers to God for our country based on our own righteousness. And this is something that really peeves me and gets me to be troubled, is when I hear about American exceptionalism, that we're going to be blessed because we're so great. God just loves us because we're such good people. Because we have a strong army, we're exceptional. We're the cowboy spirit. We have lots of money and prosperity. We're exceptional people. Of course we're going to win. Do you know what that is? A recipe for disaster and defeat. That's the Declaration of Independence, leaning upon the might of an arm of the flesh. Don't ever do that. America, what it needs is rather to get on its knees, confess its sins, and call, like our forefathers did, upon the Declaration of Dependence, upon God and God alone, for his mercy's sake, to forgive our sins and act graciously to us on our behalf, to give us help, not for our righteousness, but for his faithfulness, goodness, and saving power. Is this not how Daniel prayed? We don't present our supplications, O God, on the ground of our own righteousness, Daniel said, but on the ground of thy great mercy. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us confusion of face, for we've sinned against you. God, to you belongs mercy and forgiveness. And so therefore, cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary. Forgive us, O Lord. Give heed and act. Don't delay, O God, because of thy city and thy people called by thy name. Is that how we should pray as Christians in America? God, help us, not for our righteousness, but for your mercy's sake. God, have mercy and give us the victory again. Our ancestors prayed that way. June 12th, 1775, 2 months after the battles of Lexington and Concord, we're getting our you-know-whats handed to us by the British. The battles were hard, and President John Hancock, he was the president of the Continental Congress at the time, wrote, and Congress said this, they declared, considering the present critical, alarming, calamitous state that we're in, the Congress do earnestly recommend that Thursday, the 12th of July, what's today? July 12th. Next, that the inhabitants of the English colonies have a day of public humiliation, fasting and prayer, confessing and deploring our many sins, and offering up joint supplications to the all-wise, omnipotent, merciful disposer of all events, humbly beseeching him to forgive our iniquities and save us in this great conflict. Does that not sound like the prayer we need today? It's not save us because we're most wonderful, awesome, amazing people, God. It's save us despite our sins, heal and forgive our land. We confess and we declare our dependence, O God, upon thee. That was to be on July 12th, 1775. They prayed and declared their sins and relied upon God, and they were saved. Here we are, 251 years later, to the very day. Let's do the same and declare our dependence upon God for victory. And finally, let's understand that this is how God always works, and most especially with our own salvation. Amen. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thy name give glory for the sake of thy steadfast love and faithfulness. What did we have? We were powerless against the foe, sin, death, and the devil. We were helpless, but at that time, Christ died for the ungodly. God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And since we're now justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. This is how you're saved, okay? God saving you by his grace and grace alone, and by your declaration of dependence. Not for me, not for my merits, not for my righteousness, but I am a sinner. But I depend and call and lean and trust and put my whole weight upon Jesus alone for salvation. I call upon his name. And everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the declaration of independence leads to defeat, death, and destruction. The declaration of dependence, which is faith and trust in God, leads always to victory, life, and triumph. Therefore, on this 250th of our saving of our nation, the Declaration of Independence from Great Britain, fine, great, and dandy. But let's declare declaration of dependence upon God. For with the Lord on my side, I don't fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side to help me. I will look on triumph on those who hate me. For some boast of chariots, some of horses. But we will boast of the name of the Lord our God. They will collapse and fall, but we shall rise and stand upright. Give victory to the King, O Lord. Answer us when we call. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called Happy Dependence Day, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you. Thank you.